saying, we want to say and followers the rest of you. Let us know that we want to say just a verse. Finally, God, Jesus, thank you for I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
Praise God. And I'm not going to take any time up myself. Just going to be seated. Praise God. I just want to wish you all God's blessing. And there's not much of this year left, but I'm excited for 2019 by the grace of God. I'm looking to see God move in a greater way, in a greater measure. I want to get closer to the Lord myself. And I know there's only one way to do that for anybody, and that's to wait for God. And I've just felt such a tremendous pull over this last few months. And, you know, talking to Brother Andrew Beecham, and he was saying the same thing. What I felt as experienced, and he felt he's experiencing the same thing, that God was drawing us with himself and myself into more praying, more burden to pray, more burden to wait on God. And it's only God can do that. You could say, well, I'm going to pray so many times and everything, and you might be able to do it. But God can lead you into praying, seeking Him. And we just give God all the praise for that, praise God. So the Lord bless each and every one of you for your support all this year. I appreciate the deacons, the elders, the song leaders, the musicians, each and every one, even the wee boys and girls. And you know, there's one mistake I made this year. I never asked Isaac about the snow. And you know, last year, when Isaac asked for the snow, we got snow, didn't we, Isaac? And I'm telling you, we didn't get rid of it till he decided. He said to me one day, he says, you know, I wouldn't mind a bit of milder weather now, Tom. And the next thing, we got the milder weather. But praise God, we never got no snow this year. Oh, that's it. Well, I'm just this feeling that this weather's kidding us. You know, I have that feeling that the weather's kidding us. And it could change. And we could yet have snow. But no, I'm not saying who wants snow. Some people want snow, maybe, but some don't. But the Lord bless you all for the incoming 2019. And I just want as many as can to come tonight to share our testimony. something the Lord's done for you this year, read a scripture, sing a song, just whatever the Lord lays in your heart. And I'm not going to take no more time up. I might say something at the end, I might not, just whatever way the Lord leads. And if any of you brothers feel something really on your heart and you want to say that, there's going to be plenty of time tonight. I want you to do that. And any of you sisters want to give a testimony or share something as well, I want you to take that opportunity to share a testimony and sing a song. And just anything you just feel led to do it, praise God. And the Bible says we always should be ready to give reason for the hope that lies within us. And I'm not going to ask nobody to come or anything. I want you to be free, whoever wants to come. I don't want anyone to feel they're under pressure that you, the pastor's told me to come up or anything. Sometimes that can make you nervous. I suppose after nearly 30 years you get used standing up here, but you never should take it for granted either, because you always need the Lord. And when you think you don't need the Lord, you should, it's no good then, sure it's not. And we always need the Lord. And you know, there's been many a hardship this year, and the Lord's brought us through, and we just thank God for it. And the Lord bless each and every one of you, and I really mean that. God bless you. And just feel free, whoever wants to come and sing. And I know maybe some of the children's going to play and sing, and I think it's great to see these young ones playing the instruments coming up, and we need more of it. You know, there's a brother I know, and he started out with a church, and they were about Elijah's age, and people laughed at him. They actually laughed at this man. But 20 years later, that church was no more Isaac's age, and he had 500 people, and they were all in their 30s. And they began playing instruments, and they had so many instruments and stuff in the church. And God used them, and they saw a real move of God. And I tell you, God's able to do that. Praise God. The Lord bless you.
Yeah, man, that's good, isn't it?
I want to read you that testimony that a brother, Brian Freeborn, has sent me. Just a little moment, but just, you know, as Tommy was saying there, you know, the young people, you know, I really feel as if that doesn't seem so long ago from I was a young fella myself. You know, when you say you're still a young fella. You know, the Bible says that 70 is a man's age. That's 70 years of age, and I'm 36, I'm past halfway. I'm 15 by reason of strength. But anything over 70 is actually a bonus. You know, we shouldn't really take it for granted. I'm 36 now, and you know, my life's going on. And you know, I can remember the night sitting on my sister's knee saying the sinner's prayer when I could see it. I was only about 4 years of age. And you know, no matter how much you learn, or no matter how much you know, that first love of the gospel and the simplicity of the gospel never ever dies. Other things come and go. But that simple gospel message, you know, and the fear of God and escaping hell and getting eternal life, it's really wonderful. And you know, just in my own heart, you know, I really feel as if, like, you know, the devil can spend the best part of your life robbing you. I believe a pastor quoted it this morning, and Jesus said it, the devil is a thief that's come to kill, to rob, and to destroy. You know, he wants to destroy your work for Christ. You know, we're God's servants. And the devil wants to do everything to kill you of power. And you know, power, as Tommy said this morning, comes with the Holy Ghost. I believe that. You know, but sometimes we can confuse maybe the Holy Ghost with knowledge. And so many things, you know, growing up, maybe perhaps, you know, even for my own self, I have to say, you know, where I thought it was really important, like revelation was such an important thing. And sometimes you were keen maybe to get into a bit of a debate with somebody, you know, from a denomination, because you thought they were false, or you got, you know, that was just, that's young and foolish. You know, and some, just because you know something more than somebody else doesn't mean to say you should gloat about it. You know, because what I have come to realise, that people who maybe don't know as much are actually experiencing more of the power of God than people who know a lot. And, you know, within this year, my own self, really, from the time I've had that dream, a short testimony with you from the dream, about the Broadway and the Norway, you know, it really struck home to me that there's only one thing important in this life, and that's to see the lost saved.
Amen.
And you know, this morning I was listening to my brother Mark as he prayed. You know, he prayed just what I believe this church needs a burden for. And you know, maybe if it's not for you, but certainly for me. But I believe there's other people here tonight. And you know, you really realise that there's other things. The devil can distract in so many things and doctrines. Doctrines that don't necessarily glorify Christ or bring glory to his name. Doctrines that maybe puff up men's heads full of knowledge for to say we're more special or we're the elect and all that. You know, that's, I believe one, you know, Brother Brand said a true statement once when he was preaching years ago on the scripture that he quoted from the Bible. It says, the kingdom of God is this seed. The Lord knows them that are his own. And the Lord has people and children all over the world. People that we don't even know about, and the Lord's doing many wonderful things. You know, just lately I've been hearing testimonies of a man, just recently we've been talking to a man, Keith Malcolm from Tony, and talking about you. And, you know, he's down south doing work amongst the, Limerick is supposed to be a very dangerous city for deaths and crime and drugs and alcohol. And, you know, he's seen a lot of Roman Catholic people come in under the gospel and good sound teaching. He said even, like, some of the more mainstream denominations, like, to have things going on that you wouldn't, you think wouldn't happen in a church. You know, things like fornication and different things, just no sign of real repentance. But no, he's there and he's presenting the real gospel of repentance and works and seeing people's lives change. And also the gypsies. A few gypsies have been saved, and he told me a testimony of a gypsy man that had got cancer, and that is just his first reaction was to keep it to himself, and he was getting sicker, and he got so bad that he had to tell people that he had a short time to live. And he comes to the pastor, he was once a gypsy too, and he said, "You foolish man, you fool. Why didn't you come and get the church to pray for you?" He says, "Now they've come and told us we're going to get the church together and we want to pray." And you know, Keith told me that that man received an instant miracle.
Amen.
And was delivered completely from cancer.
Amen.
You know, so God is doing things, you know, but what I really want to stress tonight, and I believe this testimony that our brother Brian sent me, had heard my testimony, and he sent me this here, and you know, I really thought it was powerful, you know, and forgive me if I break down in the middle of it, because you know, there's nothing more serious and the simple gospel. There's nothing, you know, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
You know, if you save somebody, it means you've rescued them. And this world is full of people that's needing rescued. And I really believe that should be our main vision as a church and as a Christian, is to see people saved. And you know, it's not about trying to convince them into saying what you say or believe what you believe. It's to get them saved. It's to get them rescued. It's to pull them from the flames of fire, even as it brings about in the Epistle of Jude. But let me read this to you if I can, and maybe just take like 10 or 15 minutes, but it's a tremendous testimony. It's called The Vision of the Lost by William Booth, from 1829 to 1912, must have been his lifespan. On one of my recent journeys, as I gazed from the coach window, I was led into a train of thought concerning the condition of the multitudes around me. They were living carelessly in the most open and shameless rebellion against God, without a thought for their eternal welfare. As I looked out of the window, I seemed to see them all, millions of people all around me, given up to their drink and their pleasure, their dancing and their music, their business and their anxieties, their politics and their troubles. Ignorant, willfully ignorant in many cases, and in other instances, knowing all about the truth and not caring at all. But all of them, the whole mass of them, sweeping on up in their blasphemous and devilries to the throne of God. While my mind was thus engaged, I had a vision. I saw a dark and stormy ocean. Over it the black clouds hung heavily. Through them every now and then vivid lightning flashed and loud thunder rolled. While the winds moaned and the waves rose and foamed toward the and broke, only to rise and foam, tower and break again. In that ocean I thought I saw myriads of poor human beings plunging and floating, shouting and shrieking, cursing and struggling and drowning. And as they cursed and screamed, they rose and shrieked again. And then some sank to rise no more. And I saw out of this dark, angry ocean a mighty rock that rose up with its summit towering high above the black clouds that overhung the stormy sea. And all around the base of this great rock I saw a vast platform. Onto this platform I saw with delight a number of the poor, struggling, drowning wretch continually climbing out of the angry ocean. And I saw that a few of those who were already safe on the platform were helping the poor creature still in the angry waters to reach the place of safety. On looking more closely, I found a number of those who had been rescued, industriously working on scheming by ladders, ropes, boats, and other means more effective to deliver the poor strugglers out of the sea. Here and there were some who actually jumped into the water, regardless of the consequences, in their passion to rescue the perishing. And I hardly know which gladdened me the most, the sight of the poor drowning people climbing onto the rocks reaching a place of safety, or the devotion and self-sacrifice of those whose whole being was wrapped in the effort for their deliverance. As I looked on, I saw that the occupants of the platform were quite mixed company. That is, they were divided into different sects or classes, and they occupied themselves with different pleasures and employments. But only a very few of them seemed to make it their business to get the people out of the sea. But what puzzled me most was the fact that though all of them had been rescued at one time or another from the ocean, nearly everyone seemed to have forgotten all about it. Anyway, it seemed the memory of its darkness and danger no longer troubled them at all. And what seemed equally strange and perplexing to me was that these people did not even seem to have any care, that is, an agonising care about the poor perishing ones who were struggling and drowning right before their eyes. Many of whom were their own husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, and even their own children. Now this astonishing unconcern could not have been the result of ignorance or lack of knowledge, because they lived right there in the full sight of it and all, and even talked about it sometimes. Many even went regularly to hear lectures and sermons in which the awful state of these poor drowning creatures was described. I have always said that the occupants of this platform were engaged in different pursuits and pastimes. Some of them were absorbed day and night in trading and business in order to make gain, storing up their saving boxes, safes on the lakes. Many spent their time in amusing themselves with growing flowers on the side of the rock, others in painting pieces of cloth or in playing music or in dressing themselves up in different styles and walking about to be admired. Some occupied themselves chiefly in eating and drinking, others were taken up with arguing about the poor drowning creatures that already had been rescued. But the thing to me that seemed the most amazing was that those on the platform to whom he called, who heard his voice and felt that they ought to obey it, and at least they said, they did, those who confessed to love him much, were in full sympathy with him in the task he had undertaken, who worshipped him or professed to do so, were so taken up with their trades and professions. their money saving and pleasures, their families and circles, their religion and arguments about it, and their preparation for going to the mainland. But they did not listen to the cry that came to them from the wonderful being who had himself gone down into the sea. Anyway, if they heard it, they did not heed it. They did not care, and so the multitude went on right before them, struggling and shrieking and drowning in the darkness. And then I saw something that seemed to me even more strange than anything that had gone on before in the strange vision. I saw that some of these people on the platform, whom this wonderful being had called to, wanting them to come and help him in his difficult task of saving these perishing creatures, were always praying and crying out to him to come to them. Some wanted him to come and stay with them and spend his time and strength in making them happier. Others wanted him to come and take away various doubts and misgivings they had concerning the truth of some letters he had written them. Some wanted him to come and make them feel more secure on the raft, so secure that they would be quite sure that they should never slip off again into the ocean. Numbers of others wanted him to make them feel quite certain that they would really get off the raft and onto the mainland someday, because as a matter of fact, it was well known that some had walked so carelessly as to lose their footing and had fallen back again into the stormy waters. So these people used to get up as high on the rock as they could, and looking toward the mainland where they thought the great being was, they would cry out, "Come to us, come and help us." And all the while he was down by his spirit among the poor, struggling, drowning creatures in the angry deep, with his arms around them, trying to drag them out, and looking up, oh, so lovingly, but all in vain, to those in the rock, crying to them with his voice, all hoarse from calling, "Come to me, come and help me." And then I understood it all. It was plain enough. The sea was the ocean of life, the sea of real actual human existence. That lightning was the gleaming of piercing truth coming from Jehovah's throne. That thunder was the distant echoing of the wrath of God. Those multitudes of people shrieking, struggling and agonising in the stormy sea was the thousands and thousands of poor harlots and harlot makers, of drunkards and drunkard makers, of thieves, liars, blasphemers and ungodly people of every kind, tongue and nation. Oh, what a black sea it was, and oh, what multitudes of rich and poor, ignorant, uneducated were there. They were also unalike in their outward circumstances and conditions, yet all alike in one thing, all sinners before God, all held by and holding on to some iniquity, fascinated by some idol, the slaves of some devilish lust and ruled by the foul fame from the bottomless pit. All alike in one thing, no, all alike in two things, not only the same in their wickedness, but unless rescued, the same in their sinking, sinking down, down, down to the same terrible doom. That great sheltering rock represented Calvary, the place where Jesus had died for them, and the people on it were those who had been rescued. The way they used their energies, gifts, and time represented the occupations and amusements of those who profess to be saved from sin, and hell followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the handful of fierce, determined ones who were risking their own lives and saving the perishing, were true soldiers of the cross of Jesus. That mighty being who was calling to them from the midst of the angry waters was the Son of God, the same yesterday, today and forever, who is still struggling and interceding to save the dying multitudes about us from this terrible doom of damnation, and whose voice can be heard above the music, machinery and noise of life, calling on the rescued to come and help him save the world. My friends in Christ, you are rescued from the waters. You are on the rock. He is in the dark sea calling on to you. Come to him and help him. Will you go? Look for yourselves. The surging sea of life, crowded with perishing multitudes, rose up to the very spot on which you stand. Leaving the vision, I now come to speak to the fact, a fact that is as real as the Bible, as real as the Christ who hung upon the cross, as real as the judgment day will be, and as real as the heaven and hell that will follow it. Look, don't be deceived by appearances. Men and things are not what they seem. All who are not on the rock are in the sea. Look at them from the standpoint of the great white throne, and what a sight you have. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is through his Spirit in the midst of this dying multitude struggling to save them, and he is calling on you to jump into the sea, to go right away to his side and help him in the holy strife. Will you jump, that is, will you go to his feet and place yourself absolutely at his disposal? A young Christian once came to me and told me that for some time she had been giving the Lord her profession and prayers and money, but now she wanted to give him her life. She wanted to go right into the fight. In other words, she wanted to go to his assistance in the sea. That's when a man from the shore, seeing another struggling in the water, takes off those outer garments that would hinder his efforts and leaps to the rescue. So will you still linger on the bank? thinking on singing and praying about the poor perishing souls, lay aside your shame, your pride, your cares about other people's opinions, your love of ease and all the selfish loves that have kept you back for so long and roost to the rescue of this multitude of dying men and women. Does the surging sea look dark and dangerous? Unquestionably it is so. There is no doubt that the leap for you, as for everyone who takes it, means difficulty and scorn and suffering. For you it may mean more than this, it may mean death. He who beckons you from the sea, whoever knows that it will mean unknowing, he still calls you and bids for you come. You must do it. You cannot hold back. You have enjoyed yourself in Christianity long enough. You have had pleasant feelings, pleasant songs, pleasant meetings, pleasant prospects. There has been much of human happiness, much clapping of hands and shouting and praises, very much of heaven and earth. Now then, go to God and tell him you are prepared as much as necessary to turn your back upon it all, and that you are willing to spend the rest of your day struggling in the midst of these perishing multitudes, whatever it may cost you. You must do it with the light that is now broken in upon your mind, and the call that is now sounding in your ears, and the beckoning hands that are now before your eyes. You have no alternative. To go down among the perishing crowds is your duty. Your happiness from now on will consist in sharing their misery, your ease in sharing their pain, your crying in helping them to bear their cross, and your heaven in going to the very jaws of hell to rescue them. You know, I really thought that was a wonderful testimony. And it describes well, you know, I think, that Jesus left the splendour and glory of heaven and came this world and suffered at the hands of men, and sinful men at that, to redeem him. And you know what the wonderful thing was? That Jesus was on the cross. He cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus is a saviour, and he wants men to be saved. And I really feel this evening, you know, just from, it might not be for you, but I feel in this year coming in, you know, I really would like to make an effort to get onto the street, more so than I have done in the past. And if anybody would like to come and join me, I would love Terry for to come with the question, and anybody else, and there's Brother Ian. No, I don't have to ask Ian. Ian will be there, I know that. You know, but it's wonderful just to preach the simple gospel, because people are dying and people are perishing. The whole point of being a Christian and getting saved is to tell the good news. You know, when you receive good news, you don't keep it to yourself. You know, the good news is to be told and to be proclaimed that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. That Jesus Christ can save you from your sin. And you know, there's a scripture in Isaiah and it says this: how lovely are the mountains on the feet of him who bring good news.
Amen.
Good news. The good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know for a fact that if that's the only message on your lips, if that's the only burden on your heart, that everywhere where your feet tread will be beautiful, because you have good news to bear. And we have good news to bear. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you this evening.
Amen.
I'd like to share a testimony. It's 25 years ago since I got healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Thomas knows I did a testimony in Ireland, the first time I ever came to Ireland. Did you know that you can get your healing through listening to the healing tapes and reading your Bible? That's how I got my healing from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been proved and proved over and over and over again. Even when the nurse told me that I couldn't, you need a bit of help, it put me down a wee bit. But I went out of that surgery singing all the way up to the post office to get my pension, and singing all the way down the road. And how it came was, I was listening to the healing tapes day and night. Months, weeks, months, not years, just months. And I became a Christian in 1993, and I got a healing in 1994 from the Lord. I had heart trouble, I'd angina and I had high blood pressure. But they didn't seem to be worried about the heart. It was the high blood pressure they were concerned about because it was very high. So I listened to that healing tapes day and night. And I had my Bible verse day on my knee. I didn't know where it was opened up. I was just listening to healing tapes. And it was to do with the woman with the blood disorder. All I remember saying to the Lord was, she had the blood disorder for 12 years. I had it for 8 years. And that's all I said. When I opened up, when I looked down at my Bible, the Bible was open at the woman with the blood disorder. There was a little spoken word book on a little table, and when I took it off, opened up the fly leaf and down to bottom, was to do with the woman with the blood disorder. And I knew I was healed. And I told that testimony, and I'll stand on that testimony.
Amen. Amen.
Even now, 4 years ago, I was told I have arthritis and I would have to have 4 operations. I don't want the operations. I'm trusting in my Savior. I'm trusting in Him. And I'm testifying to that.
Amen.
So 4 years ago, and I went this year to the hospital, Sister Lena came with me, went and saw the doctor, took the x-rays. He says that the arthritis is in my back and not my hips. And he said that the arthritis has not deteriorated. It has now went worse and it's better. So I just praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
So I give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For all that He's done and how He's looked Amen. After me. And I've looked after a lot of young children, youngsters, young girls. And there's a young girl from Australia. She died last year, I think. She died. And I never thought nothing about it. And I needed a new kitchen. I was needing a new kitchen and I was saving up the money for a new kitchen. You know something? The Lord sent, when she died, she left an inheritance for me. $50,000 Australian, which came to over £3,000. And that helped me to get my kitchen. So isn't God good?
Amen.
And we can all testify to that, that God is so good and He looks after His own. So God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
God bless, saints. It's just a short testimony just to the goodness of the Lord and His grace and mercy. I had a very difficult year this year. Turned my back on the Lord. And the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. I've learnt that by experience.
the brother Andrew preached on the storms there. I downloaded, Matthew had posted it on the internet for me, and I could relate to that, the storms that came up. You know, without the Lord, life's not really worth living. The only thing in life is Jesus Christ. Everything else outside of that, you know, it's wood, hay, and stubble. But that's not really what I want to speak about. But just there a few weeks back, you sort of get to the stage where things are so bad that you either look in a rope or you have to call on the Lord. So, you know, I can't really begin to tell you outside of the Lord, living for the Lord, how dark it can become. But I'm just glad, even through the storms, through your disobedience, Christ still can get the preeminence. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, I sort of thought I've been so horrible to the Lord. You know, the Lord wouldn't be with me anymore. I was coming up to the holidays, and I had a lot of stuff that I was wanting to do about the house, and I sort of just prayed. Sometimes you just pray to the Lord, you just say how it is. And I had prayed that if the Lord was with me still, that we would get good weather over the Christmas period. And I'd sort of forgotten about that I had prayed that, and during the course of the holidays, I sort of noticed that the weather had been sort of better than normal. It had been unseasonal for us this time of year. And I was thinking about Isaac before coming to the meeting, and Tommy mentioned it there again, or maybe it wouldn't have got up today. So, you know, the Lord was so gracious to answer prayer and granted what I had asked for, to give good weather, even though I'd been so horrible to him. And, you know, I had forgotten about it, and then when it came back to me again that I had prayed that, and the Lord had answered prayer, you know, when God answers your prayer, it's just so precious. You know, I just wept. I just couldn't help it, that the Lord is in his love and mercy. It shows that he's still with you. And that he's still wanting to bless you. Even though you feel like things are so against you, and that the Lord isn't with you, you know, the enemy would tell you that. And I think Brother John had prayed with me there a few Wednesdays ago and said that the Lord is still with me. So just a short testimony, just the goodness of the Lord and just his love and mercy. Amen.
One pair of hands raised the dead. one pair of hands calmed a raging storm, and thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you, and these hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands.
I'd just like to share a testimony about a woman who always refused to testify when she was asked. And I don't know the woman's name, but I know about the woman, or I know with the woman. She is actually a granddaughter of the late Smith Wigglesworth. And maybe some of you people have heard this testimony, and maybe you haven't, but I want to share it with you. She was always asked to give a testimony, and she always refused. She always said no. And her mom and dad were missionaries to Africa, and she was brought up through the ranks of the gospel. And also, I'm sure she would have heard the stories about her grandfather and how God miraculously used him to pray for the sick and deliverance ministry. But she made a promise to God while she was praying. She made a promise. And she said, Lord, the next time I'm asked to do something, I'll do it. Wasn't a lot said. That was it. And a day or two later, while she was in the house, the telephone rang. And she answered the phone. And it was her pastor. And he said, I want you to come
and preach for me next week. And she was holding the phone, and she put the phone behind her back, and she looked up and she said, "God, I don't believe you." And then she brought the phone round and she said, "That's all right, I'll be there." And she sat the phone down. Now, as far as I'm concerned, a woman ought not to be preaching. But listen, she made a promise, and God held her to it. I believe this. She made the promise. She said, "Lord, the next time I'm asked to do something, I'm going to do it." So she's asked to preach. I'm not here to explain. I'm only here to share with you what I was told. What happens? She goes to the church. She stands up to preach. I don't think she's ever preached in her life before. She asks God something. She says, "Lord, I want you to show me the notable miracle in this room." The notable miracle. Well, the next thing she knows, there's a young woman standing in front of her who is 8 years old, who has never spoke in her life. The young girl can see, the young girl can hear, but she cannot speak. She has never spoken. Never. She's 8 years old and she hasn't spoken a word. And there's a woman preacher who, well, not going to say anything more. There's a woman preacher. This is her first meeting. She prays for her. Now, I'm not told anything, only she must have went and sat down. But she's, the next time, she's back in the meeting the next day. I'm led to believe it's the very next day. She's back in the meeting. And she sees the young woman in the meeting and she brings her up to the front. And when the young woman comes up to the front, she looks at her and she says to the young woman, "Can you say, Mama, Mama?" Do you know what happened? The young girl started to speak and she said, "I don't need to learn to talk like a baby, I can talk." God done a miracle.
Amen.
That's the supernatural act of God. That's a miracle. That is something that in the natural is impossible to happen. But we believe with God all things are possible. Now, why am I telling you this story? I'm telling you the story because if God speaks to you and God tells you something and you make a promise and you carry out the promise, God is obligated to do His part. God is obligated to do His part. Now, if that woman had met me and asked me, "Would you go and preach?" I would have said, "No, don't go." I've been honest, I would have said, "No, you can't preach. I'm not here to ordain women preachers. But I'm here to tell you, if God speaks to you,
yes, He will.
And you know He spoke to you, and you make a promise, and you carry out the promise, God's going to do something."
Amen.
God is going to do something. Now, you see, Brother Branham said the man that has the call of God on him will run from it. It's not the man that puts himself forward. It's not the one thing this woman had. She never put herself forward. She always said no. But one time she said yes. And she said yes because she made a promise to God. And God kept the promise. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
That's the work of God.
I tell you, I want to say, be encouraged. I want to encourage you to believe God, because anything can happen.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes we do, we say, oh, that couldn't happen. But you know, it's like the disciples met a man who cast out devils.
Yes.
And the disciples forbid him. And they said, we forbid him because he followed not with us. But Jesus said, forbid him not.
Amen.
For he said, no man can do these things and speak lightly of me.
Amen.
That was some miracle. A young child, 8 years old, had never spoke. Comes in a meeting, comes up to the front, there's a simple prayer prayed, and the next time she's back in the meeting, she's just talking. And you know, the woman, I don't know what the woman's expectation was, but it maybe wasn't great. Now I say that, and I say it carefully, maybe her expectation wasn't great, for she brought the young child up and she said, can you say mama, mama? And the child started talking and said, I don't need to learn to talk like a baby, I can talk. That's God. That's God in action. You know, I believe that there was a process there, but it was a short one. And it was a simple one. And God answered prayer. Praise the Lord. One time for you. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Spider than the skyscraper, some of my photos. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plans. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. He holds us in his arms. He's lighter than the skyscraper in the suburbs. He's wider than the universe, so in my wildest dreams. And he loves me and he loves me, for the world has ever begun. And wonderful to be for the major plans.
Just like to get a short testimony. It's nervous up here then. But listen to the tapes of William Brown, A. Allen, Oral Roberts, all them tapes. They're faithful. There's a move of God in America. And that time God moved. On a short testimony of myself. When I was 15, I reckon about as young boys, do you think you're invincible? I fell down through a roof and a house shouldn't been in, houses they were building. Came down through the roof, face backways on the stairs and down to the bottom, which resulted in internal injuries, which I didn't know I had at the time. So you get up and you don't let them on to anybody. So Bobby and Tommy took me down to White Wales, and I was under big conviction at the time. And I was going with her at the time, she practically didn't want to go in. So I went in under conviction, came out, and she said, don't kick me there again. And I was happy I was there, because I went home that night, it was 1990. And I asked the Lord to save me, come into my heart. So I got there, I resulted in these attacks. I just said, it's attack of the enemy, pains in the side, and went to the doctor, said, it was that end up resulted, it was very serious to do with my kidneys. So he had just come over one night, I remember it well, and he prayed on me, and got a big lift, everything was brilliant, went away, but
Of course, sometimes it's not a bed of roses when you're a Christian. I started being a bit slack and not praying again. Next thing, the thing hit me again, the attack hit me again, it was back. Things happen for a reason, I believe, sometimes in your life, to pick you to pray. Well, it made me pray, I can tell you that. So it was all right. We're having meetings in Tunnock Moor now, the pipe coming out and back on the leg bag for nearly 8 months, and the devil fought me and says, "Oh, you's preaching divine healing down there, and you're going with this leg bag." And I says, "I don't care. I ain't going to press on." And I can testify to listening to the healing tapes. I was listening to William Branham preaching. It's not him. He was a prophet. God was behind the man. You seen the picture of the halo above him? That was God with the man. Not the man, but he lifted Jesus Christ up. He pointed it to him. And I was listening to message, God's unfailing words of promise. Well, I had a growth in the back of his pipe, and the next day I went down. This growth thing, and a result, it was on for near months that long. I went down to get this dress, and the nurse goes, "Oh." I said, "Why, what's wrong? How did that happen?" The whole growth was gone. So it was all right. I went to the meetings, and Brother Ron, I'd like to testify him. Brother Ron done a lot of things for the Lord people knew nothing about. I think he was a great brother in the Lord. I'll testify to that. He's a no-nonsense man, and I liked him. And I'll tell you now, he prayed for me in Tunnockmore Schoolhouse, and I had the pipe coming out of my leg on the... I don't even really mind him, I think, at the time. He prayed for me, and he just said to me, "This sickness is not on the day. If you're going to be all right," he prayed for me. "Well, that gave me a big lift. Praise the Lord." So that was all right. I went from then things was bad, and I ended up having to go into hospital. I remember it well, I was in the hospital, and I'm only just telling you straight how it is, why you believe it or not, but I believe it. And I caught this when William Brown was preaching on a message a while back. "When I'm gone," he screams in the message, "you'll hear my voices, you'll hear this recording, these tapes." So that was alright. I was in the hospital, sick, and had to go in for to get the kidney removed, and he says, "Oh, it'll take a long time to get a heal." I remember it well, it was Wednesday night. I was sitting in bed, I never forget it. I got up to go to the toilet. I'm only telling you how it is. I know where I can explain. The audible voice in jail spoke to him, but I heard the audible voice and I shook myself and says, "You imagine things." It was William Branham preaching. And he was screaming, "The Lord give it, the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It was a scriptural voice, a scriptural saying. That's what I heard. And I goes, "You're hearing things, boy." And I went on. Next thing, the same thing again. And after that, it put me on my feet. It really put me on my feet to the positive after I heard that. And the physio came around the next day and just hopped out of bed and just went, "What?" And I was out of hospital within a week from getting the kidney removed. And I praise the Lord for that. And I do think sometimes when you're down listening to the message and listening to the healing lines, you know, I think that's inspiration that lifts you up. It's like the old Indian said, if you feed the white dog or the black dog, the one you feed the most, one of the strongest, you know what I mean? And that's the truth. We'll have to keep, you know, pushing on. I praise the Lord. I know there's a lot of things that happened. The Lord's kept me this year. Some things happen, accidents and stuff. When you look back, you don't think nothing of it. But, you know, it's the Lord that keeps you too, I believe. You know, I was working a whole trolley, roasting hot trolley thing, real weighty. The wheels broke and piped onto me. And I never thought at the time. I sort of got burnt in arm. It sort of like bounced off me, but it really could have flattened me if it wanted. It could have been seriously, but you know, it's good to plead the blood over our loved ones and all. And I give the praise to the Lord for saving me and keeping me and for healing me. There's nothing to go back till the enemy. I'll try and fight you. And there's some good messages Tommy has preached on different ones, storms of life. Yes, it's like there's a time in the life that goes maybe in the valley down below, but you know, he renews your strength and says, "They wait upon the Lord shall renew your strength." And it's like two brothers asked Brother Branham, "How do you get this power? What do we do?" And just simply said, "Just read and pray." And that's good testimony to any Christian to do, and that's what I believe to do, because the enemy will try and knock you. But you know, always remember the word of the Bible. The Lord says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, and we're not all perfect, and with trials and tribulations. I like to him and says, we should never be discouraged. Is there trouble anywhere? Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's all that my testimony is. To take it to the Lord in prayer, and the blood of Jesus, the blood lays there, the cleansing power. That's what I'd like to say. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. God, this Bible speaks of men as ignorant. I'm an ignorant man. But I thank God for it. Because the Bible speaks of people like me. I'm ignorant and unlearned. But I thank God through being unlearned that His Holy Spirit came in my life. And it's directed me. I want to speak of things as true. I want to speak of things that the children should know about. As in Acts 2 verse 29. And as I say, sometimes you may be ignorant, but God has that for a reason. Every bird that flies in the sky is not the same. You have sparrows, but you have eagles. You have hawks, you have vultures. They're all different birds, but God has created the birds for a reason. He speaks of the disciples, call them ignorant and unlearned men. How many disciples do you know tonight? That you could say, I know a man in this land is a disciple. He's ignorant and unlearned. Who would want to go and hear him? I don't know many that would. But I want to say this. It's the ignorant man that some people need to hear. Because he's ignorant, he's not worried about offending you. He'll tell you what God has. I want to say this tonight. Acts 2, verse 29. I'm speaking to the men and brethren in this place. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Lest Jesus have God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Everyone in this place is a witness of the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. And that anointed one can come on the ignorant man like me. And he can come on the humble and the meek man also. This Bible says it. But you know, it's wonderful that God speaks to you sometimes in ways that you maybe don't want him to speak to you. It could be something simple. You could say, I'm going to do this. I never made a promise to God. But God made me a promise. His promises are yea and amen. It doesn't matter what you go through. Remember that Satan was there in the garden. He knows more than anybody in this place tonight knows. That's fact. I'm only dealing with scripture. But there's one thing. You have the ability to be redeemed tonight with the blood of Jesus Christ. The enemy will not be redeemed. And listen, he knows everything. But God knows more. Because he's God. God, the I Am. And listen, I want to thank God this voice, sometimes I get to places where people don't get because of ignorance, maybe. If you can understand the thing of ignorance, if you get a dictionary, check it. Sometimes ignorance doesn't mean that you're a nasty character. It means sometimes that you can get places where people won't get. And you'll say things that other people don't have the backbone to say. I'll say it. Because God's God. Now we've heard of David, whose bones is in a place there in a tomb. But God's aren't.
Amen.
Jesus isn't in a tomb.
Amen.
Muhammad might be in a tomb tonight. Jesus is not in a tomb.
Amen.
William Branham's in a tomb tonight.
Amen.
But Jesus is not in a tomb.
Amen.
Never fear man, but fear only God.
Yes.
And that's what will give you a backbone. And when a situation, you know what the situation is? We've heard our brothers testify tonight. That's the devil comes again your life. He wants to try and defeat you. God, he wants to keep you quiet. He wants to keep you down. Do you make mistakes? Every day, if we're men of God, we'll admit we make mistakes. Because I'm not a liar. And God's not a liar tonight. And he said in his word, and if you just go over, I remember having it was great to witness to a couple of scientists one time in Manchester Airport. It was fantastic. Because being men, it was just feeding worms and getting ready for a grave. It was wonderful to speak to them. Because all men that's born a woman are full of trouble. And their days are few. 80 years isn't a long length of time. I remember being at school and I used to look at men and think they're fit men. They're not fit men tonight. And their time comes around. But I want to say something about Moses. Moses is in this book. His strength never even failed, nor his sight, nor his hearing. He's 120. That's mighty.
Amen.
I think that's wonderful. But God can do exceedingly great things. And I say something, I'm not trying to be funny, but her sister was saying about skipping down to get her pants in. It definitely was in Scotland. But nobody's skipping down to get their pants in this country. For all that gee at Harley Bass stamp with it. But I'll tell you something, they'll take your taxes off you. Caesar's hard with the taxes. And if you're having a bite in the table, it's the Lord you're relying on. I spoke to men and they says that God was fit when they took the paper out of their fly leaves of their Bible to turn it into bread. And they eat their Bible literally as bread. Now some people say I wouldn't believe it. I don't care about that. I'm speaking of what my father done for them. And he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the silver and gold's his. You're free tonight. Because Jesus has made you free. The enemy comes to steal the lives that's about you and in you. He wants to steal it. He come to plunder and wreck you. But Jesus come to give you life. There's no other message tonight. We're at a late hour. I was in Manchester Airport, and thank me for shouting, because it's not the devil I'm shouting about. And thank me for shouting. Thank me for raising my voice tonight, because I raise it for Jesus. I raise it plenty of time for the enemy, but thank God he's overcome the enemy in my life. I was in the airport, and it was just that time where Iceland, there was an earthquake, there was a volcano eruption, and the vapors of smoke was going in the sky. And everybody was, I don't think my flight's going to get out tonight. I don't think my flight's getting. I don't think my flight's going. And you know, because I would be dumb enough sometimes to read this mighty word of God. And sometimes I would just read it. Even though I'm an ignorant boy, I'll still read it. God lets me read people like reading books. I thank him for that. And that's a fact. I thank God for it. I couldn't do it. No man can do it. But God's ability to do it. He can read you like a book. There's nothing hidden from God. He's mighty. If you want to put your right foot forward, put it forward. God's able to get in behind it.
Amen.
I said to the fella, I thought of this here thing here because, you know, some people, the children, the poor, the children maybe told it. They came from monkeys and stuff. I understand that when I see some of the bus drivers. But listen, you're not from a monkey. My dad's sitting down at the back there. He does not look like a gorilla or a monkey. I can see him. He's a resemblance of myself. But thank God. He's a remembrance of himself. When he gets to the age of me, when he's a young man like me one day. Here's the thing I want to tell you is what the Bible's full of encouragement. Even when you're down. You might lose your right arm, but you've still your left. God's able. Oh, he's mighty. How could you not speak of God? Sometimes the devil wants to say, try and be quiet and say nothing and just sit right back there. You know, just in case you would get too loud or excited. I'm glad I'm excited. Listen, you're not. Listen, there'll be a time where you've been on your knees and you're not on your knees because you're glad. You may not be just as glad as you were the day before, but every day is like a day you're getting closer to the King coming. He's going to pick you up out of here one day. There'll not be a volcano high enough. There'll not be a place high enough where you'll not get over the vapor. But in Acts it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters. There's your daughters prophesying as well. Praise God for that.
Yes.
He's an all-time, all-time mighty God.
Yes.
Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, and he's here. And you know the brilliant thing about it says, and your young man, like young Isaac and these young men, shall see visions. And your old man, like my dad, and I'm not going to say any more men in case they stop me on the way out tonight. Don't want to. My dad will be happy because he's the oldest man here tonight. Not happy that he's the oldest man, but you can understand what I'm saying. Praise God. I mind the time he would have skipped up. But listen, God's good. And all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. Ooh. And they shall prophesy. I said they'll prophesy. But this is the thing that I want to get to, and I told this guy. I will show wonders in the heaven above. That's above you, you can see them. And signs in the earth beneath. Shall tremble and get on a bit. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The Bible's words to me was, there's a vapor of smoke. And there's a vapor, and the place can't fly where there's a vapor. My answer to that man said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever, that's even that by there, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I want to say something, if I never get nothing else said here tonight. He didn't say you shall be lost. God doesn't want you on your knees making him a promise because you're a man born of a woman. You were born a liar. You didn't have to be taught to lie. I don't care how good it looks. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. Drunks, harlots, thieves, liars, brawlers, of such were we. But God in his mercy. I heard testimonies, and I can give testimonies of things that happened with me myself with other people this year. People, they say things about England and about Scotland. I've been a lot of places probably in the world, just got it out of my own pocket and just went maybe on a holiday, or what would you say, I decided to go places. And most people have bumped until I had the privilege of telling about Jesus. They wanted to know what I was on. I thank God that Jesus is on the inside. And maybe if you're not looking like you're on something, maybe you can tell what something can get on you. But God's real. Every day is not a day you get a skip rope out and want to skip. Just recently pulled just a wee bit of a fella in the back. And I'm not a great doctor. I'll have to tell you all about him. He's great. I would say he's the greatest doctor I've ever... I tell you, I knew his address and everything. He actually came to the house. He came right to my house this morning. Bax, he says. Bax is newborn. He says it was in a man's house, Joyous. And he says he had a daughter. He says she lived. I says, listen, that back's no more to you then. So I decided then that I would skip outside and get back in action. And there was a bush wasn't fire on that day. But it wasn't God in the bush. It was this ignorant man throwing a gallon of tackle in that wind. Something you don't want to do, young people. But I got it sorted. But here's the thing what I want to tell you. I don't want to get well led. Thank God I'm not well led. I'm led. Just like them children that came out of Egypt. You want to thank God tonight. You're not in Egypt. You know, coming here doesn't mean to say you're going to get to heaven. But I want to say this. The people around you that believe in the King of Kings, it'll be fellowship for you. And if someone doesn't get here, it doesn't mean to say they're not in love with Jesus. I've seen people coming and they're saying to me about different things, and all I can do is take them to the scripture. And one man said to me one day, but I don't believe the scriptures. I says, that's fine. I says, because a lot of people on pulpits don't believe them either. But I says, let me get you to the one that wrote the scripture. Let me take you to him and start you off with him. And I told him, I explained things to him, and you know, he said about some companies in some places being a certain thing. If you want to say that, that's your word. Words are powerful. Don't speak over a company something that's not true. Because God's raised up some mighty men. And Scotland and Duncan Campbell and different men like it. Men that spoke for God. And my dad used to say a thing when he came up here when he talked about the 1859 revival. And I read a lot about that. And it's good to read them things sometimes. And you know, I remember he used to always say about a young fellow was carrying on one day and he lay down. And he said, call the ministers for me. And this young fellow led on, he was under a great conviction he was going to die. But I read of that incident. And the young fellow did lay down in the ground. But whenever the people got to him, it was too late. The young man passed away because of blaspheming God. God's not marked by any means. But always remember this, never try to set yourself in a position where you have to be this or be that. Just be who you are, but let God be in you and who you are. And then Tommy said a powerful thing to a fellow one time. He said he was in a bond. Can I still be in it? Tommy said, be in the bond, but be a Christian. You're going to go places where you don't think. Like, I was in New York, and I was looking at the place where Twin Towers used to be, and there was a monument there, and I bumped into a couple of fellas, and they're just New Yorkers, probably from Brooklyn and that, and you know, they've got the, hey man, you know the stuff, that's how they talk. And this guy like bumped into me, and I says, how's things going? And he says, you ever been here before? I says, no. I says, I seen it on TV, the plane crashed in the building, and he just started talking, he got a bit emotional about it. And then his old friend turned around and says, have you got a light? And I says, I have a light. But it's not the kind of light that fag. And he was like, whoo. And he stumbled back. And then he lifted it and he put it to the bed. And he says, oh, tell me. And I says, Jesus, that's the light. He doesn't like fag, but he likes your heart.
Amen.
And I says, anybody that was in that racket that knew him, they'll not be worried about a fag today. This world has nothing to offer you. And you know, many a time you'll feel low. But I say this, the greatest love story. Solomon said, for to take too much honey, it would sicken a man. But a little honey. And you know, some things will do you good, and other things won't do you good. And take your mind and your eyes of other people's situations, and put them on God. Because when they went to the Red Sea, remember this cloud and the pillar had followed. So they're saying it all the time. I was born in this country here. And as I say, I never seen no clouds or seen no lights. I can't say I've seen anything any different. But I want to say this. God's still real. I'm not worried. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet believe. But I thank God I've saw things, what God's done, because we couldn't do it. And you know, you come here tonight, and you think it's just another meeting. I love just to speak for the King. And when I get into places, and maybe it's a bar full of drunks, and that type of thing, it's great to get in among them and tell them about Jesus. Because when Jesus was on earth, that's what he done. They said this boy's just a drunk. He has friends, he's with the publicans and all the rest of it. But thank God tonight. You know, many things have happened in your life this year. But I want to say this here. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly. You'll do things in your life you're not proud of. But God will take control of that. Because he's God. He blotted out your sins and your transgressions. And your iniquities. Do you know what he said? I'll remember them no more. If it was a court here tonight, and you were all guilty, and I could fit to bring out the blood of Jesus and say, this is now speaking for you. And the judge says, right, what's in it? That'll speak for them people. And you put it up and the judge says, right, well, it's clean. It's of God. It's absolutely holy. It's the absolute there and not there. That boy's never told a lie. He never stole. He hasn't done them things. This is spotless, pure blood. Right? A lot of lads are full of it. Not a bore. And that's what's happening to you tonight. And people will say you're mad. But look at their situation. Are you mad? Or are you glad? Their days won't be easy. But their days will be easier than them days. And everybody that's born blind, it's not of the devil. Everybody that's born deaf, it's not of the devil. People that's born dumb, it is not of the devil. And Moses said it. God told Moses this when he was standing with him. He said he couldn't go down and talk to Pharaoh. He said, did I not make the deaf, the mute, the blind? God done it. Because he's God. But I want to say tonight, most people in this place is fit to get up and see all around you and hear and speak, because in God's great mercy, he's allowed you to do that. So when you meet someone that hasn't got the sight that you have, you'll have something to testify about. And we have something to testify about tonight. And it's maybe coming into another year, but I want to thank God for keeping his hand upon me. Because the devil would like you to slip down that big slippery slope and return you to the vomit like the dog. But thank God, we're not dogs, but men of God. And God lifts you up. A dog doesn't fly. When a situation comes in your life, you have to put God on the situation. And sometimes things happen, I'll say to Jenny, listen, we're going to just pray about this matter. And she'll say, right, let's believe God. That's it. Sort it. You've took it to him. If he's big enough, he can do it. Do you know what he said? Prove me now, saith the Lord. Now think of what John was saying. A woman just comes along, and that little girl, and she comes up and she speaks. And God does stuff. He doesn't do it by half measure. He does it complete. He completes the work like he has completed. But I want to say God bless everybody in 2019. May you have a better year, strengthened, and may you be happy within the inside. May you have so much oil and wine on the inside that you're full of joy, the joy of the Lord. And may he give you to his press down and overflowing. And if you've got a business, I pray it increases 100-fold. And listen, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly on your lives. And if it's more of him you want, you've heard what the brother said, just pray and read. And he'll be on the scene. Because he loves you. And you know, dump trucks, dozers, diggers, people that meet me, they want to know, you don't drink, you don't smoke, we don't hear you using bad language. What's the story with you? I'm a born again Christian. What does that mean? This place is secular now. Then I say, what does secular mean? I let them take 15 minutes explaining about secular, then I tell them about Jesus. I says, that's easier, secular. And you know, the thing is this. When you can get time to speak to people, sometimes I can go places and I'll say things to people that other people would not dare say, because I'm able to do it. I thank God for it. He puts you in places sometimes. And you'll hear some wonderful things. You'll hear some dreadful things. But God has put it in your lips. You can testify. From the youngest to the oldest, listen to the young fellas singing tonight. Isn't it great them wee boys can come up tonight and, you know, and sing. And it might be tough sometimes. You're looking at all the faces looking at you. But don't worry about the faces looking at you. I'd rather faces looking at me and have Jesus with me. And on that day, him saying, come forth. Well done. Well done because what I've done? No, well done because of the blood of Christ. He are these here robed and white. And what about this here that no man could number? Voice in the blood of the Lamb. Listen, we've heard many sad stories this year. And we've heard things that's not good. An enemy's crept into people's lives and he just wants to creep in. He wants to put you in a lock. But God, he wants to set you free. And he set people free in this place. And you know, we thank God for all the testimonies. And hey, listen, I want to pray that the Lord blesses everybody. What's it do? But God will bless you because he's able. But because you're God doesn't mean to say the world won't want to chip away at you. Look at Job. But look at the end. Listen, evening time. But there'll be light in the evening time. Listen, God bless you richly, and may He walk with you every day, because He's able. And I want to thank God and the guys saying about getting the seats. Listen, I go places and companies pay for me to go and work. And the great thing is, if it's Saturday, if I'm off, I can go into a local town, and it's great. I can bump into people in the kebab shop, or in the leisure centre, or wherever I want to take myself. And then people ask you where you're from, and I'll just carry on with where I'm from and what about me. And that's good, because then people can hear about God. And people in England's no different than the people here. And the people in Scotland is no different than the people here. We're all human beings. And there's some lovely people in Scotland and England. And I say I would have no problem having a house there in the morning. I had two of them. Yorkshire or up around Aberdeen. How do you say it, sister? Aberdeen. So, tomorrow, how do you say it? The reality is this. Anybody that's getting a bit older, I say move to Scotland. There was a woman skipping up to get her pants in. You know what I'm saying, something. But God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Does anyone else want to come before we close? Share a testimony.
There's a few girls going to sing. Sure, there's harm sitting here, but give the testimony all right. You can hear me anytime, but if you come to them, it's just maybe I'd like to share maybe a couple of psalms or scriptures with you that the Lord through down the years spoke to me about. And when things weren't going great, was a great help to me and was a great encouragement.
And you know, I just want to say this, you know, sometimes you may be praying and you want a feeling. And sometimes you do pray and the Spirit of God will come to you and quicken a scripture to you, or God will speak a word to you that will encourage you, and you can't get up and say to yourself, well, the Lord spoke to me. But there might be other times that you may go to pray and that mightn't happen. And then you might say to yourself, well, God didn't speak to me, or God didn't hear me. Now I want to say this to you tonight. God knows all about you.
Yes.
He knows our every situation. He knows before we call what we need. God never has to learn anything more, for he knows all that there is to know. He knew all from the beginning. He knew the end from the beginning. God never adds to his knowledge. He has all knowledge. He's all knowing. And when you have that feeling that God doesn't hear you, that is certainly a lie from the devil. And you can't take the devil on in your own accord. You might think you can't, and you don't have to, because Jesus Christ defeated him at the place called Calvary. And all we've got to do is rely on this word. And when we stay with this word, then God will bless us. I just wonder, I'll not be too long. I'm not going to preach a sermon tonight, but I want to just read you a couple of scriptures now. Just let me go to the Psalm. I want to read you from Psalm. There's two or three here, but I think I'll go to Psalm. Tommy quoted it today, or he talked about it this morning, and said he couldn't get away from it. It's Psalm 46. And Psalm 46 in verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted amongst the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." Now, I can remember when I didn't live right. And Aethers was talking now, a good part of my life, Aethers, I was a backslider. And I lived in the world. And I mean now, I done all the worldly pursuits, drinking, smoking, you name it, and all the things that shouldn't be done. But you know, as a young man, God saved me. And in my heart, I still knew that. I'd still read my Bible, but I never prayed. I'd only pray when I was in trouble. And that was the only time I would pray. If I got in trouble, I would pray. But you know something? I had Brother Branham's books and the testimonies. I had the seven seals in the church ages. And I, like a fool, lent them till an hour on and never got them back. I have them now. I'm not lent. Nobody never get the ones I have now. I keep them till I'm not here. But you may say, oh, brother, this start the other thing. But we'll not go down that road. But I want to say this tonight, that we get into a lot of trouble. Tommy get into a lot of trouble, and one thing's getting in one thing barred an hour. And I used to go out shooting for a certain area in the country, and I went out on a Sunday morning, and I went out for to sort of seek the Lord. And I went out to seek the Lord, and a lot of cleared this in here, they're saying this. And you know, it seemed like the Lord never answered me, and I heard nothing. But the whole time that I went to seek the Lord, the devil accused me. All the thoughts would rise in my mind. God won't hear you. God won't look the way you've lived. How do you expect God to hear you? But you know, there's a verse in the Bible. God so loved the world. That's some verse. That's the sinner. That's the backslider. That's all. And he says that whosoever shall call upon him, he'll deliver them. And you know, I got up, I come in, I was very downcast, I had the old pipe stuck in my top pocket. The enemy says, there you have the pipe stuck in there, and then you put the face on you to come out to bow before God. You've acquired that on you. And you know, if you were working for somebody and done something evil on them, and went back and tried to ask them for something, they would take a look at you. They'd say, no, I'm about you. You've done the badness, so you'll pay the price. You know, man's hard. The devil's a hard taskmaster. And I'll tell you something, when you cut the stick for him, don't you think that he'll spare you? He'll not spare you. He'll give you full it. You know, there used to be an old poem, that's nothing to do with the talk about the pangs of Ted Tantrum's flail. And it's true. But I tell you tonight that God's real. And God answers prayer. And you know, I come into the house, our ones are all like these wee fellas that were singing and saying their verses tonight. all just small children. There's a wee farm set all over the floor. Our kitchen's not a big place, but anyway, these wee ties, and I lifted a pen, and on the pen was wrote down, "Be still, know that I am God." I carry it in my pocket today. That scripture, I wrote it on paper and carry it in my pocket, "Be still, know that I am God." But you know, God done miraculously. God done miraculously. The books I give away and all them stuff, one day at home there was a package on my door, on the window. It was Brother Branham's books. It was some of the tapes of some of the stuff I thought I'd never hear tell of them in my life again. But I got them again. And you know, God moved on Tommy. And Tommy's preaching tonight. You know, just a quick testimony. Brother Branham said there was a certain woman, and she really wanted to do something for the Lord. And it was back in the 1800s. And she gathered up her money. I think it was $3 she got saved. I think she worked about a livery stable, or maybe had a livery stable. But anyway, she cleaned the stable up, and she got a man, an old man that was a preacher. And she said, would he come and have meetings for her? And you know, she got tracks wrote, and she got stuff, and she went round the town, and she did the mic, and she invited people to the services. And no one came to the services, only two old ladies. I think there maybe was an arm on. There was nobody come. But that man, Brother Bram said that man was a faithful gospel preacher. And he preached, he said, just the same as if the place had been full. And he said that near the end of the service, a ragged boy of about 17 came in. And that night, he gave his life to the Lord. It was D.R. Moody. Luke the man had come to the Lord through that ministry. And you know, sometimes people might think they don't see much. But if you feel you should witness on the street, by all means, you do it. Now, I'll pray for you. And back then, maybe I wouldn't go on the street, but I want to say this to you. What you feel the Lord wants you to do, if you really feel the Lord wants you to do it, do it. And don't do it half. Do it right.
Amen.
You know, that scripture, I could go into a whole lot of stuff, but now I want to switch back here, and I want to go over, and I want to read you Psalm 41. And you know, I want to read you these tonight because, you know, just let me see where I am here. Psalm 30, get them on. Psalm 41. Now listen very carefully. God watches over his word to perform it. God doesn't speak a word and not perform it. What God says has to happen. It can't not happen. It does happen. Now, you know, there's a psalm here. It says, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor, for the Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. And the Lord will keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies." And you know what it says here in verse 3? It says, "The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languish, and thou wilt make his bed in sickness." I tell you, God's able to look after you.
Amen.
He didn't say that you wouldn't get sick, but he said he'd look after you.
Amen.
He said he's a healer.
Amen.
Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And you know, away back, some years back, God gave me this. I was a backslider at the time. I wasn't living right. I come home, it was coming up to Christmas Eve, or a lot of days before Christmas. And the work had been very light. There was no work. It rained, and the weather was bad. It snowed in one finger an hour, and there wasn't much. And I worked self-employed, and I didn't have really any wages to collect. And we didn't have a whole lot in the house. And Ray said to me, "Well, we're going to have a bad Christmas." But I always kept my Bible sitting out at the side of my bed. And I said, "Lord, will you speak to me?" And now, God can speak to you like this, but I just said it, sitting there in the bed. I said, "Lord, will you speak to me?" And I said, "Lord, I'm going to open my Bible. And I'm going to take the first verse that my eyes light on. I'm going to say, Lord, that that's your voice to me." So I looked at my Bible. First thing I read was Psalm 41. "Blessed is he that considereth the poor, for the Lord shall deliver him in a time of need."
Amen.
And you know, away a while before, I had a sum of money. I give it to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it. And you know, Boy, I was overjoyed when I read this. I was lifted up. I just was lifted up. You know, within me it rose up, and you know, the Spirit of God really spoke to me then. I heard this audible, not an audible voice, but I heard this voice in my spirit inside. And the voice said, "Arise and go down, for there's a man sick coming to seek thee." Mm-hmm. And you know what I, you know what I done either? I got up and walked out onto the top of the stairs, and I said, you know, I'd be far safer quitting driving machines and starting to write stories. For I think it would maybe better success with a great imagination. You know, I was sorry I'd done that later afterwards. Because I hadn't, there's a turn on the stairs. I hadn't the turned when the door rapped. And the door rapped and I went down, and here standing at the door was a man that I knew very well. A Christian man, a good man. I had worked for him before, and he was a genuine man, a good man. And he said, "I heard you weren't working." Well, I heard very quick, for I think I was only quit about 3 or 4 days. And I don't know how I heard, but he said, "I heard you weren't working." He said, "Well, there's any chance of you coming to work for me for about a month?" Well, I said, "You know, I'm not working on the dozers because the weather's too bad and it cleared up, I would be back there." He says, "I understand that. But," he says, "if you could give me a month." I says, "When would you want me to start?" He says, "In the morning if you could come." I said, "Right, I'll go in the morning." And I went to that man that morning. And that was the means of God had met our need over our Christmas. And you know, during the time I worked with that man, I drove a minibus every day to Ballymena with men on. And this evening the man said to me, "I want to sign you for an hour job. I want to sign you to a place that was called Pot Hill Lane, the South Mixed Family Hinch." And I said, "Well, that's all right." He says, "I want you to take charge of the job." Oh, I said, "Why, I won't want to take charge of the job. I've no brain. I couldn't write stuff down and work stuff like that." He says, "You don't have to." He says, "I just want somebody to know knows what they're at." Mm-hmm. And you know, I said, "Well, all right." And I went to it, and the next day that I should have drive the motor, an all man drove it. And there was an accident, and 2 men were killed. You see, God knows everything. And you know, you can't fathom God's mercy. But the Bible tells me it's higher than the heavens. It's greater. You can't fathom God's mercy. And you know, it was wonderful the way to God. But God, that psalm, really, that was the psalm that really spoke to me. And it gave me a witness, you know. But sometimes maybe you think God doesn't hear you. But that's the enemy wants you to think that. He hears you. Now just quickly, could I turn to Psalm over to Psalm 12. And I want you, I've quoted this psalm here and read this psalm here many times to you. And talked about it. And you know, at that time God met our need. We had what we needed to be able to get the wee lot of presents and stuff for the children and whatever we needed at the time. And God really met the need. Now, as time went on, you knew God moved in our house and we started to go to meetings. I'm not going to go into all that, but I'll just get quickly this. But Tommy had come when he went on a missionary trip with some of our ones that had come, and they were going on a missionary trip, and they were women. And Tommy said to me something about women preaching and all, and I said, "If I don't start anything with them, don't say anything, but you'll put them on the tarmac. And don't say too much, for it'll cause a whole disturbance. But I say, as you know, and I know, but I say, as you don't have to always stay with us." So that was all right anyway. I think they went into some of the countries who were going to go into Russia. And I felt that Tommy shouldn't go to Russia. And the spirit, I sort of felt it. And I might have even said to John here, and say the difference with some odd or difference of that. But they sort of maybe had the same wife at the same witness as I had. So that was all right anyway. Then I sort of took it into my head that Tommy had no money. So seemingly they had went off and had left Tommy where he was. And he didn't have any money, so he couldn't come home. So that was all right anyway. But you know, I'd been praying. I turned over to the psalm. God says, the Spirit says, turn to Psalm 12. And I turned to Psalm 12, and my eyes fell on this verse here, verse 5. "For the oppression of the poor for the sign of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words. They are silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from the generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. When God spoke that to me, I was it all over. Once God spoke that to me, I knew things was going to change. So I went round to an honour brother's house, and we had meetings in his house, and they had prayed, and the money was collected, and the money was sent for Tommy to come home. So you see how God meets the needs. And sometimes, you know, God does some wonderful things. And I think we're living in a great time. And I think that there's going to be changes within the next few years. And I think we are going to see some powerful things taking place. Now, I said a statement here one time. I said maybe sometime we would preach why God raised up the Laodicean messenger in the United States. Now, we can see this unfolding at the present minute. This is unfolding. Now, people might misunderstand this, and they might, maybe they shouldn't be taped this, for I'm only saying it to the people in here. But God allowed America to come into being. And when America was first established, it was 97% Ulster and Scottish Presbyterians that colonized America. The R percentage was made of people from everywhere. But the biggest mistake that I am given to understand by history and bits of reading that I've done was Ulster Scots men. They talk about the Scotch Irish. Now, not to go into the stuff with the sun, but some of the Irish that were Catholics weren't allowed into America at the start when it was established at the first. Weren't allowed in the country. At least they would try to think. You see, England ruled America at the start. He was in charge. But they had the American War of Independence. And God allowed them to overcome circumstances beyond their control, so they became a nation. And they became a nation separate from Britain. And you know that in early times God moved here, and when Garlick moved here in early times, the Spirit of God moved right down through Scotland into Canada and moved right down. In real early times, so you had the Azusa Street Revival. And you had that Azusa Street Revival, and out of that there come different branches and different things. But now we know what a prophet said, how that they, through time, they denominated again, and they went back really to what they come from. But we know that how God opened up the thing, but not go that road for a wee minute. But let's say this now. Now we know in this day, in this age, that God delivered America miraculously in 18 and something. I think it would have been 1830, 1840, in around that time. Britain invaded America. And how she invaded America, she did it down through Canada. Because Canada was still under British rule. And she invaded America, and she burned the White House. And she burned the White House, and God sent such a hail, and such wind, and such storm, that it put the fire out. And it was so mighty, a wind and hail, it blew the cannons through the air. It blew them through the air. It blew out the fencing posts, and they became missiles. And they killed a lot of the English army. And the English army had to flee back without their guns and without their stuff back up into Canada and back to Britain. So God established America. And why did God establish America? God established America because he knew that they would raise up a man in America that would grant the Jews, that would recognize that Jerusalem was their capital, and would give him, now let that man be whatever he likes. They might say different things about him, but I'm going to tell you, God put him exactly there where he is tonight. For the simple purpose. And God let the messenger arise, the Laodicean prophet messenger of the last age, rise out of America, because he couldn't rise out of England, for England's involved in the Babylonian system. That's why it is. And that's why it is tonight. And you see all this, and I'm going to say much more about this because I don't want to get down this road tonight, but you see, this is why that you have all this Brexit stuff tonight and all this thing, and they do not want to leave mommy room. And you know as well as I know, I looked at a paper last night that was wrote back some time back, and they were having the Alpha course in Bonbridge, and they had the Presbyterian ministers at it, and the Church of Ireland ministers at it, and they had Canon such and one, I don't mind his name, and they had them in the Alpha course teaching the Word of God. And we know that they deny the Word of God. They have a form of godliness denying the power thereof. So we're at the end time, and I believe that if we seek God and set ourselves, it's very true what was said. If you want to get closer to God, read your Bible and pray. And you know, sometimes it's not that same urge on us, maybe till pray. But maybe God's going to put an urge on us that we will pray.
Amen.
And maybe some things that we think that the devil is doing for bad, God will turn them for good. And God sometimes turns things for good because there's a lot of Hamans in Ireland that would persecute the Jews and kill the Jews. And I think from the news that I hear and from the things that I read, I think America's still their best friend. There's a lot of things in America going on at the present time that would be against Jewish people and against things. But I think God will allow powers that would be for the Jews to overrule these things. So it would be. Would you think of things that are taking place in our country today and the things that the people are doing in our land today? Now, the Alpha course begun with a man called Nicky Grumble. And Nicky Grumble and some of these men said they were eradicating the word Protestant from their vocabulary. Now listen, Martin Luther came out of Rome and he knew what it meant. He thought he could reform the Church of Rome. He couldn't reform them, for the pale horse has passed them. And when the pale horse passes, they never can rise again. That's it. Death. Spiritual death. But God has opened our hearts to the truth of His Word, that we might receive the truth of His Word, that we could have confidence in His Word. You know, I maybe shouldn't have been saying all I'm saying, but let me say this tonight to you. Pick the Word, read the Word, and God will give you a word from His Word. And if God really gives you a word from His Word, you come in here and the Spirit of God moves in some brother and then He prophesies it to you, then you'll have confirmation.
Amen.
You know, a man could give you a prophecy, but if God hasn't spoke to you or give you something that way, that's all right. You can't really maybe just say, well, I've got a prophecy, I'm just laying on that prophecy. But God always in the mouth of two or three witnesses.
Amen.
Then you'll know it's right. You'll be encouraged. Now, if you come up here for tonight and some of the brothers prophesied over you and said that the Lord would help you to recover, you know that's right. Because the Bible has said that. The Bible said, by His stripes you're healed. So you can have confidence in God's Word tonight. And you know, I found these scriptures in my life. I wasn't living right when God spoke some of these things to me. But you see, don't you never let the enemy tell you that God doesn't care about you. God loves you. God loves you. And you know, God's people ought to love one another. Didn't Jesus say to the disciples, if you love one another, then all men shall know that you are my disciples. And you know, tonight it's a good thing to be able to pray one for another. It's a great thing to come and to have fellowship one with another. But it's a great thing to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the disciples said? Said the word, we have handled with our hands. They seen it. They had first rate knowledge of it. And they were able to testify it. This word says, this is that word that came down from heaven. The word of life. And that word of life is recorded on these pages tonight. And God has raised, Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And He sent back the Holy Ghost to quicken this word to our hearts. And as this word's quickened to our hearts, it gives us life. May God bless you and God keep you. Now, I'm sure that once here you maybe should have been up testifying, for like I say, you could have heard me any time at all. But just about whenever Tommy was saying that we're coming to the end of the service, maybe just a few things to encourage you. I was encouraged tonight by what I heard. I was encouraged by the young lads singing. And it was good, wasn't it? You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way they go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know, sometimes maybe some things might happen in life. I may say, oh, I would have done this, I would have done that. I talked like that at one time. Oh, did he backslide? Oh, he did. Oh, I wouldn't have done that. But I did. You never talk like that. Always remember people who are up there. Never put them down. Lift them up in prayer.
Amen.
Pray for them. Pray for those two that despitefully use you. You know, you do that. You do that. Keep your heart right. Keep your love in your heart. And I'll tell you something. You'll see God. God's able to do. We're here to cope with life exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or ask tonight.
Amen.
You know, there's nothing too hard for him. Not a thing too hard for him. It's very easy to get discouraged when you look sometimes at circumstances. Very easy to say, oh, I done this, I done that. You know, I want to say this, you know. Paul said this. I'm just not sure now what he said it, but I think it's in Corinthians he said it. In some of the letters of Paul. He said, this life that I live. Some people quoted to say, this life that I live by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul didn't say that. Paul said, this life that I live by the faith of
Amen.
Jesus Christ. It was Christ living in him.
Amen.
Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. May God bless you tonight. Grant you all your petitions. And may the year coming in be a prosperous and prosperous year to you. Believe the Lord. Believe the sermons and says you'll prosper. Exalt his name and he'll bless you. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. You know, I'm not going to start to say too much because, well, we're off, it's holiday time, but we're not worrying. But you know, just to tell you this, I remember it well when John and my dad was going to that meeting and I was over in Czechoslovakia travelling with women preachers. And I'm telling you, God visited me. The same one that came to me in the jail came to me in Czechoslovakia. And he showed me that one of the women in charge was possessed with a devil. And he said, thou shalt not go to Russia, audibly spoke to me. Then he let me hear the whole conversation at the dinner table that was spoken in Czech. Not one word, to deliberately quit speaking in English. So that I wouldn't know what they were saying. But I heard all of it in English. Saw a vision of what was coming over them and everything that was going to happen. And when I announced to them that I wouldn't be going, I tell you, they did almost punch me in the mouth, to be honest with you. It was a boxing match. And this was a woman, she was literally wanted to punch me in the mouth, and she went up and down, jumping with rage and with temper, with fist closed. And she was going to give me it hot and heavy. And that's when God opened the scriptures to me with women preaching and all the different things. And the voice said to me, thou shalt depart from this work till another that I will show thee. And that was 1991. And I tell you, God done it. And I never went into Russia. And their jeep broke, the wheels blew off it, and they got arrested. And everything went wrong. And while that was happening with them, I was banned from preaching in certain quarters. And everywhere I went, people got saved and healed. And I led four women, they must have been close to 90, all to the Lord. Pension women, real old women. And they forbid me to talk to them. And every one of them came to Jesus. One of them came, she fell and was almost dead. And the Lord healed her and delivered her, and she got saved.
And I tell you, I knew it was God. And the Lord brought me home safe. I gave away all any money I had left. And then they stole the rest. Basically, to be honest with you, they stole it. But God provided. You can never outgive God. You can never outdo God. And the Lord wonderful. Praise God. And all was in your honour. My dad told him in the meeting that I wouldn't go into Russia. I wasn't here, but I know it was one of these brothers told them. And I'll tell you something else. Whether people like it or not, it's the truth. It was a divine appointment when I met Ron Borthwick. It was ordained of Almighty God. I met Ron for a reason. And there was a man used to be the connection. And that man never received it. And he told Ron lies. When Ron first come here, that man told him lies. And he took me to lift Ron at the airport. And that was it. And God worked from there. And it was questions answered for me. Praise God. And I tell you, it's true. And I'll tell you, you see that man that told the lies, he said some bad things about me. And I never knew it several years ago, but he said bad things about me. And the prophecy he gave in a house one night over me, it happened to him. And he lost everything. And that's what he prophesied would happen to me. There the scripture was read. I will set him in safety. From him that puppeteth him. See, when the Lord's with you, doesn't matter who's against you. Amen. Thank God. I was thinking the night, you know, when I come in, when I was a wee lad like these wee fellas, I always remember John saying, we used to love to go to the farm in the summertime, you know, and you're milking the cows and getting them the tractor and all. But you know, what it says tonight, I want John to know this. He was some testimony to all us fellas. And I'm sure you'll all agree with me. Every one of us. Testimony.
Amen.
Never heard him cursing. Singing. And they always sang that song, put your hand in the hand of the man of Galilee. Hallelujah. And I thank God for the day when I put my hand in his hand. Praise God. I'm not going to say no more. I want Brother Gary to come. Maybe we'd sing that song, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. And the Lord bless you this year. I want you to go out tonight and encourage other expectation. Believe in God. Praise God. God's good, isn't it? And you know, if you look back, if you could only know it and read God's book and look into it, people were praying for you and you didn't even know about it. People were praying for you. I know people are praying for me. God's good, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless every one of you. And don't forget, we have no service on Wednesday, but next Sunday, we're going to continue on, the Lord willing. And I'll tell you, I believe God's hands on Gary with this dream he's had. Whatever in God's shown him, and this is all for a reason. I'm telling you, it's for a purpose, for a reason. And I would say, and John said this to me years ago, go and do it, it's all what's in your heart. And when the Lord puts something in your heart, go and do it. Amen. The Lord bless every one of you. Praise God.
Alistair,
please. Alistair,
please.